Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Good evening, Donna. Your sound is not coming through. And your guest, Dr. Debbie Green, is online. So what we'll be able to do, I can connect you directly by a two-way call, but your connection is not being heard. So that's what I'll need to do. And in the meantime, I want to introduce our show today. Of course, Jana is joined by Dr. Debbie Green, a doctor of divinity, who helps and supports people that have mental health issues. So, Dr. Debbie, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Wonderful.
Can you hear me okay?
I hear you just fine. Let me get away so you don't hear background noise. And
okay.
Jana, can you? I think Jana's connection is still difficult. So, Jana, we're not able to hear you. So what I'm going to do is see if I can connect her phone to do a two-way call so that we can hear her, because apparently her connection is not being heard. So, well, let me go to a quick break as we see if we can connect her sound and see if we can bring her in. We'll be right back.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is a result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Okay, now we are back. Can you hear me, Dr. Debbie?
I sure can. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And Jana, we are trying to connect through your phone, but your phone rings busy because we can't hear your connection. We can't hear you at all. There's just glips of sound. We can't hear anything you're saying at all. So we're going to need to disconnect and then reconnect you by phone. All right. So now we're going to try this again and see if we can connect Jana by phone. Hold one moment. And we'll go to a quick break again. And we'll be right back. So stay with us.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships for introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
All right, we're back, and Dr. Debbie's with us. Take it away, Jana.
Okay, thank you, Naima. Thank you, everyone, for bearing with us. I know it's not easy sometimes, but the technology doesn't seem to be on my side. Greetings, everybody.
Hello?
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their Internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Hi, this is Jana. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, wonderful. Is that Dr. Debbie?
Yes, it is.
Welcome to my show. I'm really sorry about the technical difficulties. I'm not sure what is going on at the moment, but thank you so much for joining us. Greetings, everybody. Welcome to the Success Strategy Show with me, Jana, on the Female Solution Worldwide Radio and TV Network. I'm the author of Success Strategies for Black People, and I host the annual blogging carnival for nonviolence. And I'm your host for today and on the first Saturday of every month. So thank you so much for joining us, and I'm really sorry about the technical difficulties. Here on the Success Strategy Show, every month we seek to help you and support you to find solutions to your problems. And as it's December, we are looking forward to next year. We want to help you make 2022 your best year yet. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Debbie Green, who will talk about how to address and heal our mental health issues. Mental health issues can affect physical health and every area of our lives. Welcome, Dr. Debbie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you so much for joining us. So tell me, you're a doctor of divinity, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And when did you and how did you first become involved with mental health issues?
Actually, my background is mental health. I've been in the mental health field for the last 15 years, and I have been a program therapist. So I do have I hold a master's in community counseling, amongst other certifications, dealing with mental health. So I have been in the field for quite some time, yes.
And what first attracted you to the mental health field?
Well, one thing is that mental health is one of the topics that's very misunderstood.
There's a stigma
with mental health, and because it's been something I've been studying for quite some time. One thing about the brain, it's forever changing, and so many things that happen where trauma or abuse or crisis or just, you know, regular stressors in the everyday life causes one to start changing. So it's good to know.
Absolutely. And when did you first start becoming interested in this field?
Yes, I became interested in this field because I enjoy studying the brain and the different dynamics of the subconsciousness.
So you were interested in the sort of medical aspects or the chemical aspects of the brain?
More so the subconscious and conscious states of the brain. It's, you know, the different actions and behaviors and what will cause someone to react or respond in a certain way, and learning different reprogramming, cognitive reprogramming, as well as using one's own strength base to, you know, to put things in a certain perspective in life.
Right. Okay. So can you give us a couple examples of how people react to different situations, things that you've seen personally?
Well, we can just take childhood trauma and things of that nature because, as I said, you know, just from my experience, I do not pretend to be a mental health professional such as a psychiatrist or a psychologist. That's been studying. I am only giving you the experience that I've had of working with patients and clients over the years of how trauma of any kind, it doesn't matter if it's trauma dealing with words, experiences, actions, events, you know, affect our daily thought processes and creating different type of cognitive distortions or even threatening a person's self-identity.
Okay, can you give us a couple examples of that?
For example, a person that has any type of abuse in the past, it could be verbal, emotional, physical, sexual abuse, they would think and respond differently than a person that did not have that experience, such as if they did not have proper therapy of some sort, they will then look, you know, they will have cognitive distortions, such as looking at things from a different perception.
So what does that mean exactly, a different perception? How would they perceive things differently?
Well, they perceive them differently because of their view of life.
Because
they're more emotional than most.
Sure, absolutely. So what kind of differences would they present with?
Well, again, they're more emotional than most.
Okay.
So which means that they respond more so on impulses than a logical or rational thought. Because and from that response or reaction, then most of the time that they don't often get the solution to whatever their issues are because it's a quick response instead of a thought-out response. When they get frustrated or irritated, are easily angered because things didn't work out the way they planned for them to work out. And then that's when they start feeling self-defeated, self-sabotage, or even going into possibilities if they have any type of diagnosis, could be depression or anxiety, you know, they could actually go into self-destructive behavior as well, such as substance abuse or some type of suicide ideation.
Well, I mean, like, for example, I think that sometimes when we are feeling vulnerable, we tend to act out. And I know that I've done that myself many, many times. If I feel like I'm threatened or if I feel like I'm being blamed for something, I might act out. I lose my temper really, really quickly sometimes. And then I will shout at someone, or they'll say that I'm shouting. I'll say I'm not shouting, but, you know, it's just a word, really. But, yeah, I've seen this, and sometimes, I mean, my personal opinion is that black people, and particularly black women, have a tendency to act out in difficult or pressured situations sometimes because of our long history of racism. Our ancestors were enslaved, and I think some of us are still carrying that, the pain from that abuse and those horrific situations and trauma. What do you think?
Well, I mean, culturally, that is very, very true. That certain individuals have a hard time controlling themselves emotionally because of whatever suppression of could possibly definitely be generational, as you spoke of, ancestral, because there's a lot of suppressed emotions. Suppressed emotions travel in the bloodline. You know, because of we're not having the opportunity to really say what's on our heart at that particular time or share, you know, our opinions or our thoughts. So there is a lot of suppressed states that a person would go through. And we know in being in the Psychological Association that suppressed feelings lead to mental illness.
Yeah, because they don't go away. Just because we suppress them, they do not go away. They go into the unconscious mind.
Correct. Yes.
And,
there's so much room there. You know, a lot of times we say that old saying, oh, I just put it to the back of my mind, but even the back of the mind gets full, you know, and it's not something that we think is just, it's like a suitcase, you know, you can keep putting things in. Things in and applying pressure to try to keep it closed, but one day you open it up thinking you can put something else back there and then it explodes.
Yes. I'm just going to see who else is on the line. I've got another caller. And I want to remind everybody, please phone in with your questions about mental health and overall well-being because they are connected. The number is 515-605-9325. And if you're outside the United States, you need to put 001 in front of that. So it's 001-515-605-9325. Who have we got on the line? Welcome to the show. Hi, welcome. Okay, I'm not sure. I think they may have gone, unfortunately. So can you tell me a bit about specific examples of things that you've seen personally?
In what particular area are you talking about? Are you saying dealing with trauma? Or are you saying just cognitive distortions? What particular ones are you referring to?
Okay, would you say that dealing with trauma and psychological distortion are linked?
Yes, they are very linked. Again, the subconscious mind can, I call it autopilot because that's what it is. It holds every memory, every thought, every sound you know, in our life. And the issues of those things are in the heart, which is the emotions. The emotions that are attached to those issues are in the heart, because emotions are in the heart and the mind carries the thought process. It's the video, which is the eyes, and the audio, which is the ears. So when one looks at it from a point of view or whatever perception that is, it could be a defective or a dysfunctional perception of what it is, then that's how they're going to respond. They're going to respond on just those impulses and those emotions. So, for example, if a person is in a difficult relationship and they may have had failed relationships from the past, even when they were children, they may have a failed relationship with a mother or a father or whatever the case may be. And so in their mind, that they either, some people turn into codependency, thinking that I must and I have to at all means satisfy this person, otherwise they won't love me.
Right.
You know, they won't, they will reject me. They would separate themselves from me. So they grow up and live that type of life, not realizing they're living the childhood mind. They're not living the adult mind. They're living the childhood mind. So this is how cognitive distortions of views sometimes get tainted because of the perception that person has. So here they are now an adult versus, you know, thinking with that same mind, and they are literally sabotaging themselves, not even realizing that they're thinking with the childhood mind, you know. And
absolutely.
So they start to get codependent. They live codependent lifestyles. And then most people, if they notice that you have a codependent lifestyle, they usually kind of move away from you because you are too needy, or you may be wanting to control their life. Or both, of course.
So, like, you know, believing that you hang, you have to hang on to this person, you have to hang on to this relationship, you have to do whatever it takes to hang on to this person and put up with any kind of nonsense because you're so terrified that they're going to leave you otherwise. This is what you're talking about, yeah?
Well, that's what they think.
That's,
that's,
yeah,
what, they're,
exactly.
That's
what they think. That's the thought process, which is distorted, yeah?
Right, with the codependency, yes, and it is. It's many other factors in a codependency lifestyle, but that's one of the main things that we see, that my life revolves around yours, yours revolves around mine. I am supposed to make you happy. And I am, even if I'm miserable, I'm still supposed to make you happy.
Right, right. And the burden falls
on
me.
And so now, correct. And now, so what then happens is that that relationship is dysfunctional because no one can make another person happy. Yeah, we can do things such as give someone some type of gift or tell someone we care about them, but overall the happiness is due to the person that is living the life, not the person on the outside of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's down to us individually to make ourselves happy, not for somebody else to make us happy, and vice versa. So the trauma might come from, for example, feeling like your parent doesn't love you or your parent is giving you conditional love. In order for me to love you, you have to do this, this, and this. And if you don't do that, if you decide to do that rather than this, then I don't love you anymore. That's how it's perceived. Is that correct?
Right. Yes, and it's only like that because that person's not thinking with an independent mind. Again, they're thinking that they are a part of somebody else's life. And I want to also let you know, we all have a life pattern. Everyone on this earth only walks side by side. We can't walk in another person's shoes or look through another person's eyes. So that's how we're supposed to treat that individual. It's two things to care about and care for. We care about a person that's able to help themselves, feed themselves, clothe themselves, and be able to have a rational, reasonable thought and we care for those individuals that cannot do those things. Sometimes what happens, mm-hmm. our perception, we get it confused. We think
right.
we're supposed to, you know, make sure a person eats, make sure a person has what they have, unless they are a child. That's something totally different. But as children even grow up, starting at the earliest ages as 8 years old, need to be taught independence. Because if not, they grow up being codependent
right.
on something
right.
or someone.
Right.
And again, that leads to, you know, if it's a very severe codependent person, it leads to depression, reoccurrence.
Is that because of fear of
depression?
Is that because of fear of rejection or fear of abandonment?
All of
that
and the above.
Okay, cool. I've got someone on the line. Just going to see who's phoning. Sorry?
I said they lose their value in life.
Yes.
The person loses its value.
Yeah, we fail to recognize our value sometimes. I'm just going to see who's on the line. We've got a caller on the line. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. Who's there? Okay, they're not speaking at the moment. I think it might be our executive producer, Naima. I'm not sure. Please speak up if you would like to, because we want to hear from you. Okay, so let me ask you something, because a lot of this, actually, I'm getting a little bit triggered by a lot of what you've just been saying, because it just reminds me so much of my own life and my own childhood, and I'm in the middle of my healing process. I'm hoping I'm coming to the end of it now, but it's been really, really tough, because, you know, I had a mother who gave me conditional love. She expected me to live out her hopes and dreams, and I have been carrying a lot of anger for a long, long time, and I'm really pleased to say that anger is starting to go now, and I'm starting to feel a little bit more empathy for her, but it's been a tough, tough journey, and it's not over yet. I didn't know why, for some reason, she didn't want to live out her own hopes and dreams. Maybe she didn't feel like she was good enough or something, but I actually had my own hopes and dreams, like most of us do, and she found it very difficult to accept that. In fact, she found it impossible to accept that. And so that was a major, major bone of contention. So would you consider that to be codependency? That I have to please her, that kind of attitude. I have to please her and do what she wants.
Well, if that's what you think.
Uh-huh.
If that's what you
that's
think.
That's what I'm talking about. Just
you have to live your... I'm
yeah,
sorry?
We've just been saying that's a distortion. It's not reality. That's a distortion.
Of course, yes, ma'am. Because as you got older, then when you were a child, when your mother told you to do A, B, C, D, she expected you to do it within a certain time frame, a certain way. But as
yeah.
you grew up and you become a woman, then you have the opportunity and always the individuality of making a choice.
Yes.
To either
yes.
do it or not to do it.
Yes.
So you're no longer, again, thinking with that childhood mind. And if you're still thinking that way, that's what's happening. You're still caught up in the childhood mind. Instead
right.
of understanding
right.
you have your own mind, you have your own independence, and it's not to make anyone else pleased or make anyone happy or to satisfy any other want, need or desire for anyone, and the anger only really confuses it more so because, again, it's an area that you have not quite dealt with just yet to
yes,
release
exactly.
yourself from it.
Exactly.
Yes,
although,
ma'am.
You know, that does happen. I think if you put in enough effort, that does happen, but it's not easy. But have you seen cases where it's the other way around, where the parent thinks you must please me? Is your job to please me?
Well, again, because that parent is codependent. Yes, I've seen it. I've seen that happen many times. The parent is still wanting to be so involved into their children's lives and make decisions for them even after they're 25, 30, or whatever years old, because that they're still in the parental mindset. of that person being a child and not looking at that child as being an adult.
And having their
and
own
still
views.
Stuck there. Yes, they're still
and having
stuck.
Their own views and
they're
their own.
Still stuck there. Correct. Not just out of respect. Their respect is due and communication has to flow. To let that person, I understand that you have your own life. You don't have to and not forced to make a decision based upon what's going to make me happy or make me content. Mm. You have your own life. And that's when that person has been released to live their life independently without trauma from a family member or whatever, you know, whoever may disagree or agree with them. But they, the person that is pressured and stressed by that, is challenged by it, they have to know that if they don't make that decision, they're just going to keep cycling and doing the same things over and over again, expecting a different result, but there will not
outcome.
Be
one. Yeah, well, exactly. If we keep doing the same over and over again and expecting a different result, that's what Einstein called the definition of insanity. But unfortunately, so many people are caught up in that kind of thing. So if you saw a parent that was insisting that the child, the adult child, must still please them, then do you think that that would be triggered by the parent's own childhood trauma?
Possibility, yes. It depends on what type of family that person, that parent grew up in. If they grew up in a codependent family, there's a good chance that they're just passing it down. Because most of the time, that's the way it is. I would say at least 75% of families go through that.
Really? 75% go through codependency?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Right. Fine. Well, that's a really unhealthy situation. Clearly, that is a really unhealthy situation. And I'm thinking, because, as I was saying earlier, because of the trauma that we went through to do with slavery, to do with colonization in Africa, the brutality that we experienced, you know, that our ancestors experienced, I personally believe that we still carry that. We still carry that in our bones.
Mm-hmm.
We still carry it in our DNA. What do you think?
Yes, as I said earlier, generational cycles do happen. And that's where it comes from. It comes from generational cycling of thought process, of emotions, of responses, because we're more alike than we are different. A lot of us respond the same way to certain traumas.
Right. Well, yeah, because humanity, you know, we're, to a certain extent, we're programmed by human DNA, but then there's also additional, you know, experiences that different groups of people have had, clearly. So they will affect us differently. So can you give me
an example
of how, yeah, thank you. Thank you for agreeing with me, Dr. Debbie. Can you give me an example of how you see intergenerational, you know, reactions to the oppression, the racism, the stress?
Yes. It's so much attached to it because the generational cycles is also influenced by society of what is and what isn't. So one must really be able to cipher through all of this influences so that they can gain their own self-identity. Otherwise, you just will attach yourself to so many different views and understandings and actions and behavior, and you will lose yourself. You'll lose your self identity in it, and you will find yourself following something else instead of just being who you are.
Right, yeah. See, in Buddhism, we would call that being an individual, which is more towards the psychological healthy end of the spectrum rather than being a member of the group, which is just following the herd, following the crowd, doing what, you know, and giving into that pressure. Because sometimes there is societal pressure to behave in a certain way. You know, we're seeing terrible, terrible things now with young people attacking each other, with violence among young people.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that is to do with peer pressure.
Right. Yes. Yes, it's a lot of influences out there And young minds are very, it's easy to permeate a young mind because the frontal lobe is not developed until they're 24. So the logic and reasoning and rationale is not there. They're just pretty much hormones and impulsivity. So it's easy to influence a child, very easily to influence them with any type of, you know, action or behavior.
Right.
They would just follow, you know. And I mean, that's how we were when we were growing up. We were, you know, we were following. We weren't leading. I mean, very seldom that, I mean, because I know everything is cultural. You have, in certain cultures, they teach children how to lead as early as 3 or 4 years old and to gain their own independence. But in the American-ized culture, that's not the case. We are just passing down. We pass everything down. We don't create anything other than, you know, I don't know, a new way to watch television, a new way to do this, you know, as far as tangible things. But whatever our parents taught us, if it is something, if we know it's dysfunctional or we've been exposed to it, we can say, oh, I don't want my children to have that life. And then that's when we recreate something better. But then if we don't know and if we still are dysfunctional or in denial, may not have the self-awareness, then, again, we just continue the same action.
Yeah. So I was talking to someone the other day, and we were both saying that a lot of Black people are in denial because we don't even realize that we have a problem. We don't realize how damaged we have been, have become, or the negative patterns that we've inherited. What do you think?
Well, I think all cultures have their form of damage control, to be honest with you. Because it's not just color. I mean, if you look back in time, all races have some type of genocidal or or some type of enslaved area. I mean, you know, African American Africans were enslaved, but they also had genocide. You know, the Caucasian race also was enslaved. We knew that there are certain Jews that were Caucasian, and they were enslaved, and they also had a genocide. So, I mean, I'm just kind of giving an example. So all I'm saying is it actually depends on that individual of how they want to perceive their life to be. Because even if you take a person out of slavery or had them never even experience any type of generational, you know, discomfort of any kind, if they have not a self-awareness of what freedom is or peace is or even seeking it, then they will put themselves in an enslaved state in their perception. And so they can't grow. They'll get fixed-minded, and they then become habitual if it's done too long because, again, the subconscious is one of those things that is easily trained to do something, and it will trump the conscious mind, which means that you can live a damaged subconscious state thinking that you're making decisions, but really and truly you're not.
It's your
not
unconscious
making
mind.
Decisions.
That's
there's nothing
it.
New.
Exactly. Yeah,
nothing
mind,
new
yeah.
is coming in. It's just the same old thing that's constantly happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that because the unconscious mind is so powerful. It's very, very powerful. And the more unconscious something is, the less control we have over it. So we think, as you said, we think we're making rational decisions, but a lot of times we're being led by the unconscious mind. Would you agree?
Right. Oh, absolutely, because that's the recorder. Like I said, that's the massive recorder that that records everything, bad, good, and ugly. And but you, again, you must remember that when your eyes are wide open and you're looking around and everything is being recorded day by day, You have to make choices of strong, deliberate, intentional life power moves. Otherwise, you just be, you know, living your subconscious. Whatever's back there, you'll just keep continuing to live that same pattern. I think one should make decisions every single day, waking up intentionally and like, what do I want in this day? How do I want to feel? What do I want to manifest in this day? Regardless of what happened in their past, because otherwise you'll just keep living your past woes if you don't detach yourself from it. So if you're still attached to it emotionally, then you're giving the subconscious the power to think for you.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, the thing is the unconscious is very powerful anyway. So we have to choose, we have to, as you just said, we need to make decisions about what we want to put into our conscious mind every day.
Yes.
So you've heard about the Akashic Records, yes?
I'm sorry, the what?
The Akashic Records. I'm not familiar with that. Okay, well, it's just exactly what you've been saying. We have record that exists, and if you believe, as I do, that we've had many, many lifetimes, every single thing that we've seen or done or experienced or witnessed goes into the storehouse, which has been called the Akashic Records. In Buddhism, we have a different name for it. It's called the Arya Vijnana, which means Arya is storehouse. And Vijnana is consciousness. So they call it the Arya Vijnana. But the term a lot of people use, which I think is pretty much exactly the same thing, is the Akashic Records. So we can actually go into the Akashic Records and we can find out things that happened or that we experienced or witnessed in the past that are still causing problems now. Because I believe that from one lifetime to the next, we still carry the same patterns, the same vibrations, until we change them. And a lot of times we need to become aware of them first. If they're unconscious, then we have no control over them. It's only when we have a certain level of awareness that we can begin to change and actually remove these patterns, which I call energy blocks. But that's what we do in spiritual response therapy. I've written about that in my book. I'll talk about that another time. So have you done any work with reclaiming memories, reclaiming past issues or past traumas?
I have not presently. I'm still in the process of studying, because trauma is actually a very delicate subject. You go into, I call it uncharted waters, and you have to be very careful how you wake up those types of things, because the person will definitely can get stuck there, and they, again, it's hard for them to come out once they get stuck there mentally or emotionally.
First,
it takes some study behind that, for sure.
First, we have to realize that we have a problem. Before we can even begin to open up to the solution, we have to first acknowledge that we have a problem, So tell me, because you just said this is a very delicate area, how exactly do you help people? What methods do you use?
Well, cognitive reprogramming is usually, and DBT usually helps the traumatized issues. I would say more so DBT. Just helping a person be very mindful, and also mindfulness is very important. You know, I call it switching the food, being able, if they are having moments of times where they travel, I call it mind travel, the mind to travel back and experience those experiences. We know that to be with PTSD, dissociation disorders. The mind will travel back in time, and before the mind travels back, what we try to do with coping skills and strategies is let them know within that first 45 seconds of them even having that thought process, because thought processes are like flickers of light. It seems like a person is there for a period of time, but they're not. It's like lights come on, and it captures their attention. And mm-hmm. if they capture and they focus on whatever thought process that is, then they'll go in that room, as I call it. They'll go in that room and they will stay in that room for a period of time. And if they're not careful, the door will shut and they will stay there. And
so
it's hard to get themselves back out.
So you're talking about revisiting trauma, revisiting traumatic events?
Well, that's the same thing. Is revisiting trauma is revisiting traumatized events, because PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, is a part of how a person experiences trauma.
Okay.
They experience it through nightmares, daymares, thought processes, feelings, sensations, touch, smells. I mean, it seems so very real because, again, the subconscious mind is a very, it's reality. It's reality, but it's focused reality in another space and time. But the brain does not know that. That's why a person that has PTSD, especially Vietnam vets, they hear the sounds audibly. They hear and see and smell or whatever. It just comes so it's so real to them, to it's hard for them to differentiate with where they are, you know, in reality. Until, of course, you know, it's like a roller coaster. You ride it, and you can't get off of it until it comes to an end. And then you realize, oh, wow, this would happen, you know. So sometimes people will literally blank out to a certain degree. Some of them are conscious aware of it, and some people are not conscious. It just depends on how deep the trauma is.
Right.
But again, cognitive behavior reprogramming, helping them to chart another what they call pathway of thought process. For example, if they are having these thoughts, to act very, very quickly to fear, because that's what's happening. Fear is prominent. It's there on the brain. It's there in the mind. So within that 45 seconds, they have to shift and look at, and I always say to create a happy place, switch to food. A happy place could be you sitting on the beach, someone, you know, watching the sunrise or sunset, feeling the wind, warm wind blowing. I mean, you have to literally visualize. That's what DBT comes in at, the visualization with the CBT, cognitive behavior thought process molds together to alter that thought process, and you stay there. You stay there in that area for a period of time until that feeling fades off of that fear. And so you have to do this repetitiously, though. It has to be
right.
a constant reaction. Oh, you can't do it once in a while because it won't work, because the subconscious mind will trump the conscious mind. So you have to, every time it happens, you have to respond to it the same way, like clockwork. And what you'll notice that you can then start controlling, because one can control their mind. It's just with repetition and consistency and frequency.
That's really interesting.
Those are things you have to have those in place. Otherwise, you can't, because it will control you, and you will feel powerless to it.
That's very, very interesting. So how do you get
people
to the point where they have that, where they can access the happy place? Is it through talking therapy?
It can be talking therapy. It can also be visualization. Visualization, everyone has a mind's eye, okay? And we know that to be the pineal, okay? There's a pineal gland. But everyone has a mind's eye, which means that if I told you to focus on a daisy with white petals, a green center, and a green stem with green leaves sitting in a red pot, you can see that very clearly. I don't even have to close. You don't have to close your eyes. You can see that daisy. Can't you see that daisy?
Me personally.
Personally. Can you see that daisy? Can you
I
see the daisy with white petals, a green center, a green and green leaves sitting in a red pot? Can you see that?
I have difficulties with visualizing in that particular kind of way. I can see most of it, but it's not that clear, and I can't see a green plant sitting in a red pot yet. I would have to practice that. I'm sure I can do it. I'm sure I'm capable of doing it. But
it's the mind's eye. The mind's eye is most of the time, most people can see it. Sometimes if a person has a little color blindness, then they may not be able to see a lot of color. But most of the time, I mean, if you can't see, let me try something else. How about a pair of red pumps, shoes? Can you see that?
Yeah, definitely I can see that, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, that's the mind's eye.
Mm-hmm,
see, I didn't have to show you a picture.
That's right.
I did not have to show you a picture. All
I
had
don't have
to do
any
is
red
describe
pumps.
It.
I don't own any
okay,
red pumps,
all right.
So that was entirely my mind's eye, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So,
well,
yeah, that's
you
your mind's eye. I just want to,
sure.
I want you, to, so you can understand what I'm saying to you. That's
mm-hmm.
the mind's eye. So the mind's
sure.
eye can describe any place, such as a beach with water,
mm-hmm.
blue waters, white sands. You could be sitting in a chair watching the sun go up or watching the sun go down.
Mm-hmm.
And you can literally go there and start feeling warm. You can feel the heat of the sun as well as the wind blowing when you start meditating and concentrating.
Okay.
So that's what we offer. We offer that type of let's say, practice, coping skills, strategies in
okay.
those areas for a person to switch to soon. Because
that's
the mind's eye is specifically for that reason. You can go anywhere you want to go. It doesn't matter where it is.
Yeah.
It could be in
absolutely.
The mountains if you choose. It could be sitting next to a stream, rushing water, going downwardly, you know, on a nice, warm, sunny day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just depends on where you want to be. So when a person experiences trauma, you know, we want to help them switch to that area very quickly
when
they start feeling or thinking of any thoughts, processes, actions, smells, whatever the case may be, within that 45 seconds to go into that happy place, as we call it. We call it the happy
okay.
place. That happy
okay.
place then becomes a place of soothing for them, and they go there as often as necessary until they're comfortable with, you know, going there with repetition and being able to access that place anytime they need to go to calm themselves as much as possible. And to and also there is, you know, sound. I think one of our great hosts, Jody Sasson, is talking about the sound device called the BAUD, B-A-U-D. And then that stands
okay.
for something. I'm not exactly what that is, but
mm-hmm.
she also offered that is sound to help the brain waves and to increase the endorphins as well as the serotonin of the brain, which is the soother as well.
Okay, so,
and you may want
to
have her
clear.
As a guest one day.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. I just want to be clear with you. When you say endorphins, you're talking about happy chemicals. Happy chemicals which the body actually produces.
Yes.
In certain situations. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about the pineal gland, that's the gland in the center of the forehead, sometimes referred to as the third eye.
Correct. That's the mind's eye. Well, the third eye is the mind's eye.
Right. So I would say that that's connected with intuition, that clarity we can get from tuning in to the pineal gland
yes.
or the mind's eye, as you say.
Spiritual awareness.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, spiritual awareness is so important. So how does spiritual awareness then come into this process of switching to the happy place?
Well, again, this is something that you have to practice on a everyday level, and it will take meditation because you got to get in in balance with your own being. And you have to know how to block the world, all sounds, any activity outside, enough so that you are able to really focus on your own being, you know, your energy that flows from the top of your head down all the way to your feet, which is your crown chakra, your third eye chakra, you know, your heart chakra, your throat chakra, solar plexus chakras right above the navel, and under the navel area is your root chakra. So all of those energies
and sacral and root flow
in unison, and that will help assist you to really focus on what you need. And that takes, again, it takes meditation. Mm-hmm. Meditation is just sitting still for a period of time, and you build up to it. It's not something that you sit still for a whole hour if you've never done it. You start off with 5 minutes, and then 5 minutes goes to 10, and you keep building up until you get to a certain hour or maybe 2 hours of really blocking out a lot of the negativities that sometimes the brain will chitter-chatter, as one would say, and stressors of everyday life, and being able to really focus on your well-being.
It sounds really beautiful.
I think that's interesting.
Really lovely.
Yes, lady. This is Naima.
Hi, Naima. I was wondering if you were there.
Yes. Yeah, I was in a bit of a noisy place, so I wanted to make sure I muted my sound. But one of the things that I've been hearing a lot about now is how people are really kind of struggling with being able to recognize when the state of distress has transcended just regular emotional distress, and it's actually mental illness where there is a chemical imbalance. So I know Dr. Debbie's got to leave us shortly, and we can take a quick commercial break, but I don't know, Dr. Debbie, did you need to leave now, or...
I got about 5 more minutes. Yes.
Yes.
All right.
So,
okay. I was hoping we'd get some callers, but we haven't had any callers with their questions. Well, I have to have you come on again because this is a really important topic, mental health and how it affects our overall well-being.
Yes.
Right.
So maybe, Dr. Debbie, in a minute before you leave, you can kind of give us a pointer or two on when to tell when there might be an actual chemical imbalance as opposed to someone just in a bad mood or, you know, having a bad day. Is there a way to kind of tell when someone really needs medical help because of erratic behavior?
Well, yes. Actually, one must pay very close attention to the ADLs, activity of daily living, when your sleep is, like, if you have a sleep deficit, not just insomnia, but when you have the inability to sleep, no matter, even if you took in, you know, over-the-counter medication and your body just, your mind, you know, just can't seem to calm down, either that area as well as your eating habits, your appetite is actually, I would say you start literally not wanting to eat. Sometimes people eat too much or sleep too much, so it's still an imbalance. So those are one of the first things that happens. You start getting major imbalances there. Brain fog. Brain fog is where you have a hard time focusing, and then you become very emotional. A lot of I call emotional tearing up, crying for no apparent reason, not being able to control the emotions, and not even with stress, because stress is normal until it becomes to a point where you are severely stressed, and that's when the ADLs, as I would say, start to decrease. in a very unhealthy, you know, everyday level. And so if you are experiencing these things 2 weeks or better, like let's say, for example, if you have like 2 or 3 days and then you have a really good day, all right, everything seems to be going okay, you did get some sleep, so okay, and then you have another 4 days of not getting sleep or not eating or being very mournful and grief, okay, it's coming. That means it's coming on. It's coming on. So if you have 2 weeks or better with this type of behavior, then you definitely want to seek help, especially if you start self-defeating, and start thinking that you're a failure, thinking that things will never go right, no one loves you, then self-sabotaging, not wanting help, pushing people away, not giving yourself the help that you need, then the next step is self-destruction. Some people go into self-destructive behaviors such as alcoholism, as well as drug dependency. Some is known even to cut themselves. Self-infliction, harm, we notice that in the younger population, more so in the older, like adolescent population, does that more. So all of these are signs to let one know that there's some deterioration mentally that's happening. And you should definitely seek help at that point to let a professional know to help you.
So let me ask you something. You just mentioned to do with brain fog. Is brain fog part of that whole cycle of recovering from trauma?
Brain fog is the area. The correct wording for that is mild cognitive impairment, where
that's a big word.
Have problems. I call it brain fog so people can understand what it is.
Thank you.
You have mild cognitive impairment where it's hard for you to concentrate. Even communication, you get real tense, you get irritated, frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Agitated very easily, and you can't seem to, you know, get anything done. It seems like it's not just the ADD or ADHD thing. It's like, you know, you have problems completing things, and you're so frustrated, and you get angry, and you just kind of burst from the scene, you know? So if that's an ongoing pattern, then something is wrong.
So can you just repeat what you said, Debbie?
I'd say it could be from trauma, abuse, or any crisis, but anything that creates excess stress, because that's what trauma does. It creates excess stress.
Right. Okay. That's very, very clear.
Zana, I have an individual who, once Dr. Debbie has to step away, Stanley Q, who is a mental health associate. He actually works with trauma, emotional trauma, and he can come on and talk to you for a few minutes.
Okay, lovely. Dr. Debbie, thank you so much. Yeah. And what's the name of your company?
You're welcome. Definitely come back on the show again. And however I can help, I hope everyone.
What's the name of your company again?
Yes.
What's the name of it again? The name of your company?
Actually, it's the Keys for Freedom International, and it's based upon trauma from domestic and family violence.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm very interested. I'd love to have you on again. And please make sure you drop me your Facebook link, okay?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. I emailed you some information today, actually.
Okay, thank you. I will take
You're
a
welcome.
At it.
You guys have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right.
You're welcome.
We're going to take a quick break.
Bye-bye.
And when we come back, thank you so much, Dr. Debbie. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Stanley Q will be on to talk to you about mental health, and he has some quite stories that he has faced in helping people who are going through these challenges. We'll be right back.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solution Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Okay, Jana, we're back, and we have with us Mr. Stanley Q, and he does some fantastic work in the area of mental health, so I'll give him an opportunity to give you all the
good
info.
Welcome.
Thanks so much.
Welcome, welcome to the show.
Hey there, how you doing?
So, should I call you Stanley? Is that okay?
You can call me Stanley. Can you hear me pretty good?
I can hear you clearly, thank you. Yeah, this is Jana. Welcome to the Success Strategies Show. I just want to remind everyone, if you have a question you'd like to ask my guest, Stanley Q, about mental health or overall well-being or all of the above, please call in on 515-605-9325. And if you're outside the United States, you have to put 001 in front of that. So it's 001-515-605-9325. Okay, things are becoming very noisy now. I don't know, is that at your end, Stanley, or is it at mine again? Because it ain't at my end. There's a bit of noise in the background.
Okay, yes.
Is that at your end? It's got a lot quieter now. Okay, that's much better.
Okay.
So tell me a bit, how long have you been working in the field of mental health, and what is your role?
Well, I'm a mental health. Well, to answer your first question, probably about 15, 20 years.
Right. Okay.
And so currently I work in a psychiatric hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of the lead core workers, as they say, on one of the most acute units. But I've been at this particular psychiatric hospital for the last eight years.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what exactly is your role?
My role is to basically provide support. I work with a team. As you know, it's not the hospital. I did say psychiatric hospital, which means that it's behavioral health, and it's pretty much dealing with your mind and mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
So my role is as a counselor to assist the psychiatric doctors and the therapists. The therapist who works directly with the patients, you know, and I lead all of the groups daily. You know, we have skill groups, you know, groups where, you know, patients pretty much have to learn how to cope, deal, and manage with their issues for whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, brought them, whatever the issue was that brought them to the hospital. So it could be a range of, you know, from, you know, it could be an eating disorder, it could be, you know, normally anyone who's admitted to a psychiatric ward, first of all, they're admitted in for one of the three reasons. They were either considered to be a danger to themselves, dangerous to others, or alteration of thought, meaning that they're hearing voices. So,
yeah.
Of course, you know, so there's eating disorders, depression, suicidal, you know, anxiety,
yeah.
not taking medication. So these are some of the reasons why individuals are admitted to the hospital.
Okay.
But again, so my role is to assist. I work on a team, the team of us. So so we pretty much help them manage. The whole goal is for them to become stable. So, you know, again, my role is to help counsel, help give direction, guidance. And then and there's a lot of hands-on as well, depending upon the patient and the levels of care that an individual would need.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are some who do come into the hospital who need total care, meaning
right.
that some, you know, total care implies just that. Some need to even be helped. We even have to bathe them, you know, shower them, you know, in addition to helping them manage and cope and deal with the issues that brought them to the hospital.
Right, right.
So there it is.
So some people are so disempowered by their experience and by their reactions and experience that they can't even do basic things to help themselves.
Correct.
Self-care. Right.
Correct.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to, so give us an example of someone who's come in that not even able to care for themselves, do basic things for themselves. How would you help such a person?
Oh, well, first and foremost, I mean, you know, yes, an individual has to, you have to have the desire to want to help yourself, but some individuals are in such a catatonic state that, you know, some of them actually need medication and or rest or both before they can even, you know, even begin to use motor skills, you know what I mean? Because some patients will just, I've observed, will just come in and for right now, the only thing that they can do is just rest, lay in bed, you know, and then also receive the medication to help, you know, let the medication do what it needs to do to get them stabilized, you know, and to, you know, kind of give them some normalcy or whatever the medication may, you know, whatever the medication is specifically designed to do. So yes,
right.
some individuals actually come in and they're just flat. I mean, just flat, mute, catatonic. I mean, unable to speak, unable to move. And some come straight off the gurney, straight into the bed.
Right.
Straight to the bed.
Right.
You know, and so they administer medication and you know, sometimes it takes days, weeks and a few months. You know.
Sure.
So I've seen a patient stay as long as 3 months. You know,
go ahead. What would get someone to the point where they are catatonic and they literally are when I was a college, this was a while ago now, but we would call it flat affect. So they are not responding at all. There's no sort of facial response. There's no recognition. What would get someone to that?
I mean, it could be It could be anything that has traumatized someone. It could be anything that has traumatized someone.
Give us an example.
It could be an example. Let's say for an example, I'll give you kind of bizarre, but I mean it's something that actually happened. There was a woman who was just recently admitted to the hospital, and she became catatonic. I mean, just had no response. What happened? What occurred with this particular woman? And there's many cases that I can just tell you about. But this particular woman, she was in her early 20s, and she was at work,
mm-hmm.
and she just had a psychotic break. But the psychotic
really?
Break was due. The psychotic break was due to her mother's some guy her mother used to date drugged her daughter. Had sex with her daughter, made her daughter eat feces, and so one day she was just at work, and I guess that traumatic experience came up. It triggered her brain, and they brought her to the hospital, and for at least 5 days, she was in psychosis. She was experiencing psychosis, and when she came through, after getting some rest and, you know, of course, eating, having some meals, and resting, and then the medication that she was given kind of stabilized her. When she came out of it, she did not believe the things that she was doing. Because when she came into the hospital, as she got more stabilized, she was aggressive. And, I mean, she's not an aggressive person, but the psychosis it triggered her, so she became violent. She would attack staff. But as she got more, you know, normalized or stabilized, she came back to her normal self. It was based upon the medication that, you know, they tried to make sure that it was a perfect fit for her. I don't know what the medication was that they gave her, but it stabilized her and
it
brought
her
back.
I just want to interrupt you there, Stanley, because I've got a question, which is, I mean, given the circumstances she was in, right, and I don't know, do you have any sense of how long it had gone on for, this abuse?
No, I don't. I don't know. I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
But given this abuse that had been going on, I would imagine it had been going on for some time, maybe for years, what exactly would you consider to be a normal reaction to that?
Well, what I say, what's the normal reaction to what her experience?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you what could be a normal reaction. I mean, it's like, who can say if this happens to you, this is how you should respond? Meaning that if something traumatic happened to you, let's say somebody shot me in my head, how can you tell someone how should they respond? You know what I mean?
Exactly,
so how she was, and as we're talking about mental illness, know that mental illness is a chemical imbalance in the brain, you know, as well. So,
yeah, see,
you know.
See, my concern is this, right? Sometimes people use words like normalize, which is what you were saying. They gave her some medicine, normalize her, which is, you know, if she was able to function, I think that's great. The problem being that if we're coming from circumstances that are not normal, then our behavior is not going to be normal, is it?
You said the behavior is not going to be normal either?
Yeah, if you're coming from a situation that's extreme, then, you know, your behavior is not going to be what most people consider to be normal, is it?
No, because something has traumatized you. Something
has
affected you.
That's my point, yeah. So
yeah.
Is that, can't say, I personally wouldn't say that someone was normalized. I would say that it helped them to function. Or, you know, gave them the opportunity, the ability to know that they could function or something like that.
Yeah.
What do you
think? Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So, thank you. Thank you for agreeing with me. I appreciate that. But, yeah, you see what I'm saying? It's like we have behaviors, but our behaviors a lot of times are influenced by our circumstances. So, I mean,
correct.
I grew up in a situation where I had a lot of verbal abuse for many, many years on a daily basis. And so my behavior was probably not what one would consider normal. It probably still isn't now. Cause, you know, the way I would react to things, I would get angry about things that maybe other people wouldn't. I would be upset about things that maybe other people wouldn't. Sometimes I wanted to take my own life. But, you know, to me, I would say, what would be the normal reaction to the circumstances? That was my reaction.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, and a lot of us, I'm going to assume that you're a black man. Are you a black man?
I am.
Okay, good. I like that. I mean, obviously, anybody can phone the show, and everyone is welcome to phone the show, but you might understand certain things I'm going to say a little bit better than some other people. But I think some of us have been carrying this trauma for many generations, as I was saying to my previous caller, Dr. Debbie. And it's sort of in the blood. It's in our bones. It's in our DNA because of the horrors that our ancestors experienced. What do you think about that?
Ask me the question again, please.
Okay, sure. I think that what our ancestors went through still affects us now. And it's still part of who we are, part of our bodies, part of our, you know, the way we interact with our families and so forth. What
I
do
agree.
You think?
I would agree as well. Yeah, I agree.
That, you know, we
I
have
agree.
To heal it, because if we don't heal it, we're going to just keep passing it on to the next generation.
I agree.
Sometimes I think in certain situations, for example, we might act out, we might be angry, and then we get labeled as aggressive.
You know, when you become what comes to mind is a psychologist by the name of Dr. Naeem Akbar. He's retired now, but he did his clinical study at the University of Michigan, and he used to teach at a college in Florida, but he's retired now. So for the listening audience, he really talks about the traumatic experiences that have affected us, and he talks a lot about slavery and how that affected our psyche, our psychological. And I mean, he's really good, so I would encourage, you know, individuals to check out that psychologist. His name is Dr. Naeem Akbar.
That sounds fascinating.
Yes, but I agree. Go ahead.
Can you give us a couple of examples of things he was talking about, like how we were traumatized and how that has affected us? And I know people of all different races are traumatized. I'm not trying to say that back to the only people that have been traumatized.
But he really relates our experience as to as a whole, as a people, how we respond to certain situations. But I mean, he really talks about some of the traumatic situations that have occurred amongst us, and he talks about, I mean, for some of it's kind of really graphic, but these are things that actually happened to us. But I mean, he educates individuals on actually certain acts that were perpetrated upon us that have still is related to some of the reasons why we still, some of our behaviors, like for example, you still have black men who sometimes if you in the presence of Caucasian Europeans will put their heads down. Well, there was a time throughout history that if you looked at a black man, you were killed. You know, so a lot of stuff has been generationally still passed down in our behavior. Still we do things that we don't know why we do them. But if we go back and still do study, we can, you know, trace back why we do what we do in terms of our behavior. I mean, we were taught fear. You know, fear was instilled in us.
Yes.
He talked about, you know, I mean, there's so many examples but he deals with, you know, how to heal. You know, he talks about, you know, coping skills and strategies and ways to manage and just give good examples and advice on things that we can do, you know, to heal. You know,
that's what it's all about, really, I think, is healing. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, that is a real challenge. That's a real challenge, because once you've seen someone really, you know, have had a traumatic experience and they're really at the bottom,
I mean, I've witnessed, oh my God, so many people who come in a psychiatric hospital who just, you know, it's just trying to breathe is a task, needless to say. Some trying to just, I mean, I've seen individuals go a week, 2 weeks without showering, without eating, without brushing their teeth, you know, and then they have a breakthrough because, you know, due to the interventions, you know, the counseling, but the, you know, sometimes just sitting in the room and, you know, allowing someone to listen to some music. Just telling somebody, just breathe. Just try to breathe, you know. And you see them stages by stages beginning to, you know, come out of their, you know, their experience or their coming out of their depression or, you know, coming out of a certain state that they're stuck in. I don't know. So
do you use any of the strategies he talks about in his books?
What I do for me, and what I sometimes I like to instill in some of the younger patients and even adults, knowledge is information is really key. I mean, just getting information on how to cope, deal, and manage. I mean, I'll just give you an example. Just deep breathing. You know, watching how you eat. Your diet is very important. Watching what you eat. Watching what you drink. How you sleep. Getting good rest. All of these are holistic exercises or regimens that one can exercise and can begin to incorporate in their everyday lives to help get them back to the road of recovery. I mean, he talks about that, not only him, but other individuals who are all about healing and trying to or battling depression and anxiety and suicidal ideation, all of that. I mean, because there are a lot of, individuals who speak to that issue in terms of how to cope and deal with, certain mental illnesses.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I also wonder if sometimes there are people who are trying to live their lives and they get labeled as mentally ill because they're different from other people and they're different from what other people expect.
Yeah, there's a stigma on mental illness. There's a stigma. Yeah. Living with the
stigma.
Stigma, yeah,
but also, is it, sometimes people just want to be themselves and that's not an illness. I would say that's not an illness, but other people might disagree with me because they're not behaving the way everybody expects them to behave.
Correct. Yeah. So what you're saying that what one person might label as a mental illness is not a, could not be considered a mental illness, considering
I think
based upon someone
one
else.
One person or one institution or one society might consider it an illness, but another person might not. They might see it as a blessing.
Okay, I understand what you mean. Okay. Can you give me an example of
I'm thinking about people on the autistic spectrum. I've got a very dear friend who's got Asperger's. When you first meet my friend, their behavior is very, very different from most people, right, because they're on the autistic spectrum. So they, usually when they first meet someone, they're very, very quiet. Their affect is very flat, meaning they're not expressing any emotion. But some people would say that's an illness. Some people would say that person's just being true to themselves.
Okay, I understand what you mean. Mm. Okay, because it's really
agree with that?
Everything. I kind of, yes.
So if you encounter such a person, that person was institutionalized, would you be able to help them while not trying to change them?
Okay, are you asking that question again for you? Asking the question again.
If you met someone who was a patient or someone who's accessing mental health services, but who fell into that category where they didn't consider themselves to be ill, but they were different from most people, would you be able to give them help and support without trying to change them?
Myself personally, yes, I could. Because who am I? I don't judge individuals. But what I would do is I would do exactly what you just said. I would aid and assist them and provide support.
Yeah.
Well,
like
that is
that.
Excellent.
Like that. Yeah.
That's an excellent thing.
Yeah, I like
well,
that.
I know he's got to go, Jana, and we got a break for commercial. But I think that is an excellent thought to not judge because people are different. There have been so many people diagnosed as mentally ill just because they're a little different and they've been institutionalized and there's nothing really wrong with them. So I think that's our first thing is to accept people. And if they're not harming anyone, then, you know, not consider them to be a threat or a danger.
And not try to change them. Not try to make them
absolutely not try to change them. Right.
Go,
but thank you so much, Stanley.
Can I say one thing before I go?
No, definitely. Please say one thing.
This is what I say every day to the patients that I work with. I pose the question and I ask them every single day. I'll say to them, do you know the only? I say we're all on the same team, but you know the only the difference between you and me. And they laugh after I tell them. And they're like, no, I don't know, tell us. I said, the only difference between you, me, and the team of professionals that you work with, because we're all on the same team, the only difference is that we're going home at 3:30.
Exactly, yeah.
And,
that's how I felt as well when I worked in the prison.
And I
said, they got to stay.
And I say, make no mistake.
They have to stay overnight. I'm going home now.
We have the same issues and problems that you have.
Yeah.
We're no different.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes.
So with that being said, I'll say thank you for your time.
Prison, right? There's no difference in you and me, except that you're staying here and I'm going home.
You're institutionalized and I can go home.
All right.
Thanks so much, Stanley.
Can I just ask you, please, the name of that psychology that you were talking about and his book or books, can you please drop them on the Female Solutions page?
Who's that? Naeem Akbar? Is that what you were telling me about?
Dr. Naeem Akbar.
Please, can you
I'll text you his information. He's very popular. I'll text you his information. He's very popular.
Thank you, because I am really fascinated. I want to know more about that. Stanley, I'd love to have you on the show again soon.
All righty.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. All righty. Bye-bye.
Thanks
Take
again.
Take care. Have a good day.
All righty. Well, we'll go to a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back. And for those listening, you are listening to Success Strategies with Jana, joining us live from London, England. And we'll be right back after this next break. So stay with us. We'll be right back in just one moment. Hi, I'm Naeema Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Hi, I'm not sure. Are we back? We got another message. I'm not sure. I'm still here. This is Jana. Oh, here we go.
Hallelujah, greetings. In the spirit of Wayo and Yah, shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom Women in Support of Daughters on Motherhood Preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, places, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325 to share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Hi.
Hey, you're back.
Oh, hi, we're back. Okay, that was lovely. Yeah, we had two really powerful guests on today telling us some really important stuff about mental health, mental illness, and how it affects our lives and how what we can do to heal. I mean, I mentioned earlier that I'm in the middle, well, hopefully coming to the end now of my healing process. I actually have 6 mental health diagnoses, right? I've never told anybody this before on this show.
Wow.
But I've got 6 mental health diagnoses. I have more than 6 problems, but some things I don't talk about. But I've got 6 mental health diagnoses, and I started out, because of the way that I present, for years, mental health services kept telling me there was nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with you. You're fine. You're fine. Go away. And that was extremely difficult, but I knew that there was something wrong. I wasn't reacting right, but the way I was brought up to present myself in a certain kind of way and not show how I'm really feeling. And that was part of the abuse that I experienced as a young person. I wasn't supposed to tell anyone or show that I was afraid or show that I was really vulnerable. And all this stuff is stuff that I've had to work through. I'm not saying I've completely done that yet. But I think I've made a little bit of progress anyway. But, yeah, sometimes we get labeled as troublemakers. We get labeled as aggressive. Oh, I want to tell you guys the story I read. No, I saw in a documentary a couple of days ago. In Britain, I think I might have mentioned this before on this show, in Britain, black women are 4 times more likely to die in childbirth or within 6 weeks of childbirth than white women. Right, 4 times more likely to die in childbirth. And for some reason, I mean, I do love the National Health Service. It's brilliant, but it's not perfect. And in some ways, they're really letting us down now because they don't even have any targets for looking into this and finding out what the problem is or changing it. So I was watching this documentary, and there's a woman who's a doula, and she was saying she was assisting at a birth, and the woman's husband was saying to, I don't know, I guess the midwife, can you listen to my, no, you're not listening to my wife. can you read the birth plan? And the response that he got was, if you don't sit down and be quiet, I'm going to call security because you're being aggressive. So on the one hand, we do act out, and I'm not saying only black people act out. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying I do think that we sometimes act out more because of what we've been talking about all day today, which is recovering from trauma. And sometimes we do act in a way that could be described as aggressive, but sometimes we are labeled as aggressive, even when we're not. And another example of that would be what happened to Sandra Bland, that this police officer was telling her, put out your cigarette. She was going, why do I have to put out my cigarette? I'm in my own car. And she ended up getting arrested, and she died. It's still kind of mysterious how she died, but it's very clear that she was arrested. She was put in a jail, local jail probably, and she died. So, you know, these are societal things that we have to live with. And I think the more we engage in our personal healing, the more we can heal this situation. Naima, are you there? Are you there? Am I talking to myself? Hopefully people are listening. That would be good. If you've got any thoughts about this, please phone in. We're going to be off the air in a few minutes, but you can still phone in right now on 515-605-9325. Or if you're outside the United States, that you put an 001 in front of it. So it's 001-515-605-9325. I was also hoping that we could get in a bit about Kwanzaa today. To round off this program, Kwanzaa is an opportunity for us at the end of the year to look back over the year that we've just lived through and to look ahead to the next year. And I think for a lot of people, 2021 was not that much different from 2020, really. We're still in a pandemic crisis. A global pandemic crisis. It's affecting everything. It's affecting the supply chain. It's affecting businesses. It's affecting individuals. A lot of people have lost someone or more than someone. A lot of people have been ill. Some people have long-term COVID. It's been a difficult time, and it's been a challenging time. And challenging times can bring out the best of us. They can also bring out the worst of us. But Kwanzaa is an opportunity to look back over the past year and what lessons we have learned, if any, and what plans we have for the coming year. So I'd really like to know your thoughts about that. If you call me now on 001-515-605-9325. We could talk about that, and I'd like to continue the discussion. My next show will be the first Saturday in January, which I believe is New Year's Day, and it's the final day of Kwanzaa. So we're going to be looking at peace, the push for peace, nonviolence, and peace. And again, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the past year, about the year to come, about how we can continue to push for peace. Yeah, I've got a lot of thoughts about this. I'm about to bring out the new edition of my book, Success Strategies for Black People. And I'm going to be including a chapter specifically to do with healing psychic trauma. This is specifically to do with the trauma of people of African heritage. And as I said, you know, black people are not the only people who experience trauma. Every race of people has experienced trauma. And as my guest, Dr. Debbie, was saying a little while ago, every culture at some point has experienced genocide, or not maybe every culture, but many, many cultures have experienced genocide, not just African people, But I do believe that people of African heritage now throughout the diaspora are still living with the consequences of slavery and colonization, and we're still just really finding out certain things. We're still just finding out stuff that happened during the colonization of Africa. Some things we have no idea about, the brutality, the atrocities that have been committed, and the information sort of slowly seeping out, and we have to deal with this, and hopefully deal with it without being re-traumatized by it, without re-traumatizing ourselves and being traumatized by it or re-traumatized by it. So we need to have solutions for how we can do that, and this is what I talk about in the book, in Success Strategies, and the fact that we're often, well, I don't think I talk about this in the book, but I'm going to in a new edition, about how a lot of times we find ourselves looking to other people for guidance, looking to other people, looking for someone to come in and rescue us. And we really have got to take responsibility for our own healing. Our mental health affects everything in our lives. Our mental health affects our overall well-being. And we're the only people that can heal ourselves. Nobody else can do that for us. We have to heal ourselves. Some people can help us along the way. Some people can support us along the way. But we have to take responsibility for our own healing. And it's a huge endeavor. It's a massive undertaking because it affects us. It affects our families. It affects us intergenerationally. And a lot of times we are in denial. A lot of us are still in denial about the fact that what happened during slavery is still affecting us now. What happened during the colonization of Africa is still affecting us now. You know, these are ongoing issues, but we have to heal them because the crisis in our communities is so great. We've got people being killed by the police, which frankly is nothing new. It's been happening for decades at least. But the difference now, of course, is that people have phones. People have cameras on their phones. So there's more documentation now. People are angry. Understandably, but being angry is not a solution. It's a natural reaction, but it's not a solution. So my book, Success Strategies for Black People, is about solutions. And this show is about solutions. So I'm going to say good night. Thank you so much to my two lovely guests, Stanley Q and Dr. Debbie, and thank you so much to our executive producer, Naima Latif. It's been such a privilege to be able to do this show this year. It's been such a privilege to hear from some of you and to share my views, and I really look forward to having you back in the new year. I look forward to speaking with you then. Have a wonderful holiday season. And we'll speak again soon. Good night now.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows. Listen to our radio shows. Order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba.
Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jaret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, tashakor. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.